Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Ana Mateo in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. In our weekly higher education report, Dr. Jill Robbins tells us how nursing students in the United States are learning how to become nursing assistants while learning English at the same time. We write our articles based on something we call a word book. It is a very basic vocabulary. This story has many words not found in the word book. For example, to outsource. This is a business term. It means to send away some of a company's work to be done by people outside the company. Also, intermediate. This means you are more advanced than a beginner, but not yet an expert. There are also some academic terms, such as textbook, semester, and curriculum. Curriculum are the courses that are taught by a school. A semester is one of two, usually 18-week periods, that make up an academic school year. The focus is the main purpose or interest, and to adjust is to change something in a minor way so that it works better. I hope knowing these words will help you understand the story better. Then you will hear words and their stories. Jonathan Evans and I will present part two of our two-part report on the word take. And finally, we will present the making of a nation. This week in our series, Steve Ember and Shirley Griffith will tell us about the election of Franklin Delano Roosevelt as president in 1932. The defeat of Herbert Hoover brought hope to many Americans who had been suffering from the worst economic crisis in the nation's history. But first, here is Dr. Jill Robbins.
VOA Learning English talked with two students in the Nurse Aid Training Program at Carlos Rosario International Public Charter School. Hasna Marmoucha is from Casablanca, Morocco. She moved to the U.S. with her husband 8 years ago. She was surprised to see poor people on the street in the U.S.
When I was in my country, we used to watch movies, American movies. When I came here, I didn't accept I would see a homeless here.
Marmoucha found it hard to communicate with people in America because she had not studied English in Morocco.
And I was feeling like shy when I was in the street. Like, if someone asked me a question, how am I going to answer? But then I met a friend and she told me about Carlos Rosario, that it's free school and they teach English from basic to high level. And then I registered in Carlos Rosario and I started by level one. And it was so nice.
Josephine Major is from Yaoundé, Cameroon. She came to the U.S. in November of 2014. She was shy when she first came to the U.S. She was frustrated because everyone talked fast.
I discovered that everybody move faster, speak very fast, and I felt a little bit frustrated, you know. And then when I started coming to school, I learned how to express myself, and then I learned a little bit about the American culture.
Major said she is learning along with her daughters.
I'm here with my husband, and we have two kids, actually, two girls, 10 and 5. My first daughter, She's in fifth grade, and she just got the principal award. I'm so happy. I help her with her homework, mathematics and English, so I can learn the new word, and she learned also the new word from me with my new class nursing. So we help each other.
From her teenage years, Major dreamed of being a nurse.
I love nursing. That was my dream when I was a little teenager. I think here in U.S. I have a good opportunity to realize my dream. I like to hug. I like to share what I know with people. So I think in that field, I will be comfortable with the way I like to behave. I will feel comfortable in this field.
Hasna Marmusha also feels that nursing will be a good match for her personality.
And I said, okay, I love to help people. And when you do something for people and they say, thank you, you feel like so happy. Why I don't do this job? I can be with a lot of people, meet people every day, help them. And then Carlos Rosario is offered free. And then I started, and I started be loving it day by day. When we read the book, when we heard stories from our teacher, when we say, like, there is a lot of things that are interesting in this job, and we're going to be close with people more than sometimes, like, with older people in nursing home. You're going to be their family, you know. They will love you and love them. You're going to love them, too. I feel happy when I help someone.
Both Marmusha and Major have a large number of new words to learn. Marmusha is glad that an ESL teacher is in her program.
In this job, there is a lot of medical terminology, and it's hard to understand it, and it's hard to pronounce it too. But thanks God, we have two teachers in this program. We have one for English. She helps us in pronunciation, and another one for CNA class. Yeah, we are learning. Every day we learn a lot of words, terminology, medical terminology. That's nice.
In the spring semester, the nurse aid students do internships at a local hospital. I'm Jill Robbins.
Thanks, Jill. Last week, Jonathan Evans and I presented part one of our report on the word take. I bet you know what we're presenting this week. You may not know this, but the word take is considered an elemental word in the English language. It is a common verb as well as a noun. Take is also combined with many prepositions to make new phrases, and it is found in many common expressions and idioms. But don't take my word for it. Here is Words and Their Stories, Part 2 of the word take. Now, the weekly program, Words and Their Stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore the history and usage of common expressions in American English. And we give examples so that you can learn to use them yourself. Sometimes we talk about a very simple term, like the word take. But take is not as simple as it sounds. In fact, the Oxford English Dictionary calls it one of the elemental words of the English language.
Combining the verb take with any number of prepositions is where the fun really starts. Let's start with the term takeaway. Takeaway, when used as a combination noun, is what you learned from something. For example, what was your takeaway from the meeting today? Take off means something really progressed quickly. You could say, her career in politics really took off when she moved to Washington, D.C. Yet the adjective takeout is very different. Takeout describes the food you buy from a restaurant and bring home to eat. Chinese takeout meals are very popular, in the United States.
However, if you are tired of spending money on Chinese takeout, you can take up Chinese cooking. This means you are learning how to do it. You can also take up an instrument or take up a hobby, like painting. Change the order of those two words and you have uptake. Uptake is the process by which something is taken in by the body or a plant. But that is not the way we often use it in everyday speech. Uptake also means the ability to learn new things, to understand what is happening or being said, as in this example.
Hello, miss. Fill out this form and give me your health insurance card. The doctor will see you shortly.
You want me to fill out my health insurance and give it to the doctor?
No, just complete this insurance form and give me the form.
Oh, sorry. I'm a little slow on the uptake. I don't know what is wrong with my brain today.
You can also use the expression uptake like this. He's kind of slow on the uptake. This means he is slow to understand a situation.
If all this information is too much, you might want to take five or take a break. Take five is what actors, dancers, and musicians say when they want to take a break. But these days, anyone can say take five if they need a little rest from work. Word historians say this expression was first used in the late 1920s. It may have come from the fact that smoking a cigarette takes about 5 minutes.
But please do not think that we are expressing support for smoking. If we did that, we would have to take on anti-smoking health activists around the world. To take on has several meanings. In our example, it means to deal with someone or something as an opponent. You can also take on new responsibilities. Then the phrase means to begin performing or to deal with something, such as she took on the job of manager after Steve resigned.
But to take on can also mean to get control of or to become like something, as in this example. On the day of the celebration, the boring city's town center took on the air of a happy carnival.
You can add the word take to word combinations and create new expressions. For example, if people take something for granted, they do not place much value on it, or you believe it to be true, real, or expected. This is a very common expression. For example, if you take your friends for granted, you may not have friends for very long. It's better to let your friends know that you value them.
Unless that friend takes you for a ride. If you are taken for a ride, you are fooled by someone.
If you take a plunge, you act bravely and with determination. This expression began in the late 1800s. And if you take a back seat to someone or something, you have assumed the secondary position of importance to them.
The criminal world of the 1930s is responsible for at least two take expressions. To take the rap means to accept punishment for something you didn't do. And to be on the take means to take money from criminals. And if you take the money and run, you are a criminal.
To take into account means to consider something. For example, when the man planned his trip to Hawaii, he did not take into account the cost of fuel. He went over budget by several hundreds of dollars.
If someone tells you to take it easy, they want you to calm down. Taking it easy can also mean to simply relax and do nothing. So, do you see what we mean? The word take has so many uses. You can take our word for it. That means you can trust us.
I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Anna Mateo. Now, we present The Making of a Nation. This week in our series, we begin the story of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In 1932, Americans were tired of the policies of Republican President Herbert Hoover. They thought Hoover had done too little to fight the depression that was crushing the economy. They gave a big victory to Franklin Roosevelt and the Democrats in the elections that year. Roosevelt believed that the federal government should do more to help average Americans. The election brought hope to many Americans in the fall of 1932. But Roosevelt did not become president until March of 1933, 4 months after the election. In those months, the American economy fell to its lowest level in the history of the nation.
President Hoover tried to arrange a World Economic Conference, and he called on President-elect Roosevelt to join him in making conservative statements in support of business. Roosevelt refused. He did not think it was correct to begin acting like a president until he actually became the president. He did not want to tie himself to policies that the voters had just rejected. Congress, controlled by Democrats, also refused to help Hoover.
It was a strange period, a season of uncertainty and anger. The economy was worse than ever. The lines of people waiting for food were longer than before. Angry mobs of farmers were gathering in the countryside. And the politicians in Washington seemed unable to work together to end the crisis. Hoover said, "We are at the end of our rope. There is nothing more we can do." And across the country, Americans waited, worried, uncertain, afraid. What would the new president do?
The new president was 51 years old. His family name was well known to the American public. Theodore Roosevelt, a distant family member, had served as one of America's greatest presidents 30 years earlier. Franklin Roosevelt was born to a rich and important New York family. He went to the best schools, Groton, Harvard, and Columbia Law School. In 1910, he won election to the New York State Legislature. He showed great intelligence and political understanding as a state senator, and worked hard for other Democratic candidates. Franklin Roosevelt next served as Assistant Secretary of the Navy under President Woodrow Wilson. And in 1920, he was the Democratic Party's unsuccessful candidate for vice president.
The next year, Roosevelt suffered a personal tragedy. He was sailing during a holiday with his family. Suddenly, his body became cold. He felt severe pain in his back and legs. Doctors came, but the pain got worse. For weeks, Roosevelt was forced to lie on his back. Finally, doctors discovered that Roosevelt was a victim of polio. He lost control of his legs because of the disease. He would never walk again. Roosevelt had always been an active man who loved sports. But now he would have to live with a wheelchair. All of his money and fame could not get him back the strength in his legs.
Many Americans thought the illness would end Roosevelt's political dreams, but they were wrong. He showed an inner strength that people had never seen in him before. Roosevelt ran as the Democratic candidate for governor of New York State in 1928. He won by a small number of votes. 2 years later, the voters of New York re-elected Roosevelt, and they cheered his creative efforts to help citizens of the state who were suffering from the Great Depression.
Franklin Roosevelt always appeared strong and friendly in public. He loved to laugh and enjoy life. But his happy face hid a strong will. Throughout his life, Roosevelt worked to improve life for the common man. And he was willing to use the power of government to do this. He thought the government had the power and responsibility to improve the life of its citizens.
Roosevelt believed deeply in this, but he was less certain about the best way to do it. Above all, we must try something, he said, during the presidential campaign of 1932. Roosevelt believed that the country demanded creative experimentation. Americans in large numbers across the country voted for Roosevelt in 1932. They supported his calls for action to end the Depression. But no one was really sure just what this new president from New York, this man unable to walk, would really do after he entered the White House.
Inauguration Day in 1933 began with clouds and a dark sky. Roosevelt went to church in the morning, and then he drove with President Hoover from the White House to the Capitol, the building where Congress meets. Roosevelt tried to talk with Hoover as they drove, but Hoover said little. He just waved without emotion at the crowd. The two men arrived at the Capitol. A huge crowd of people waited. Millions more Americans listened to a radio broadcast of the ceremony. The Chief Justice of the United States, Charles Evans Hughes, gave the oath of office to Roosevelt. And then Americans waited to hear what the nation's 32nd president would say. He told them he was sure they expected him to speak openly and honestly about the situation facing the country. He told them that their great nation would survive as it had survived in the past, that it would recover and become rich again. He talked about the danger of fear, a nameless fear that blocked efforts to move forward. And he talked about Americans giving their support to honest, active leadership in every dark hour of their history. Here is some of Roosevelt's inaugural address in his own words.
This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance.
Roosevelt's words caught the emotions of the crowd. He seemed sure of himself. He promised leadership. His whole style was different from the empty promises of wealth offered by President Hoover.
Happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort, the joy, the moral stimulation of work, no longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of evanescent profit.
These dark days, my friends, will be worth all they cost us.
If they teach us that our true destiny is not to be ministered unto, but to minister to ourselves, to our fellow men.
Roosevelt said that the most important need was to put people back to work. And he said the federal government would have to take an active part in creating jobs. Roosevelt said there were many ways to help the nation recover. But, he said, it would never be helped just by talking about it. We must act, he said, and act quickly.
Roosevelt had a strong and serious look on his face. He told the crowd that all the necessary action was possible under the American system of government. But he warned that Congress must cooperate with him to get the nation moving again. Then, his speech finished, Roosevelt waved to the crowd and smiled. Herbert Hoover shook his hand and left. Roosevelt rode alone through the huge crowds back to the White House. And he immediately began a series of conferences.
Roosevelt's inauguration speech of 1933 was one of the most powerful and important speeches in American history. It was like an ocean wave that washes away one period of history and brings in a new one. The president seemed strong. He gave people hope. The new president promised the American people action, and action came quickly. During the next 3 months, Roosevelt and the Democrats would pass more major new programs than the nation had seen in many years. We will look at the beginning of the Roosevelt administration next week on The Making of a Nation. This program was written by David Jarmul. It was presented by Steve Ember and Shirley Griffith, and we thank them all. You can find the entire Making of a Nation series online with transcripts, MP3s, and images at learningenglish.voanews.com. While you are visiting our website, you can also read and listen to longer versions of the stories that you have just heard on this program. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find captioned videos and lessons to test your American English skills. Also remember, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. And be sure to listen to VOA World News at the beginning of every hour, Universal Time, every day of the year. Well, that's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Ana Mateo in Washington. From all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending time with us today. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from the Voice of America.